Hi, you're listening to a Cell Paperclip, where Cell editors and authors discuss cool new biology recently published in Cell. The famous LA Lakers center Kareem Abdul-Jabbar once said that five guys on a court working together can achieve more than five talented individuals who come and go as individuals. This is certainly true on a basketball court, and this is also true inside a cell. For example, to synthesize proteins, many players come together, ensuring that a functional polypeptide is eventually made. Using a technique called selective ribosomal profiling, a group of scientists, led by Jonathan Weissman at UCSF and Bernd Buchow at the EMBH, recently uncovered how one player, a chaperone called trigger factor, influences the end game of a subset of ribosomes. Dr. Weissman has kindly agreed to join us today and discuss these findings. So let's begin by discussing, in general, ribosome profiling, and maybe if you could walk us through very briefly what's involved in this technique and also explain why it's so powerful.
The basic goal of the approach is to be able to watch directly and globally the synthesis of polypeptides inside a cell. And the core of the approach goes back to an old observation, which is that a ribosome protects about 30 nucleotides of a message, and that if one sequences that protected ribosomal mRNA fragment, that you can get an exact idea of where the position of the ribosome was. Okay. What's changed dramatically in the 40 years since this approach was first used by Jones Deitz is our ability to sequence these small footprints. We can now sequence hundreds of millions or even billions of these footprints. And so now, instead of looking at one or two places where a ribosome might be synthesizing protein, we can do this globally.
Okay.
And this allows us to do two very important things. One, to globally look at how much and which proteins are being made in a cell. So as an expression, a tool, as a parallel to mRNA abundance measurements.
Right.
But the second, and really where we're going with this paper, is it's a powerful tool for looking in vivo at the mechanism of translation.
Right, and so that's this idea of selective ribosome profiling.
Right, this is an important implementation of it. And the basis of this is we know that as soon as the polypeptide emerges from the exit channel of a ribosome, it's engaged by a variety of different factors.
Mm-hmm.
Some modify the ends of the polypeptide, mm-hmm. others recognize signals in the polypeptide and tell the protein where to go, like signal sequences for
right.
secretion. And then other sets are involved in grabbing the protein and making chaperones that make sure the protein folds to its native state and isn't just exposed to the cytosol where it would be prone to aggregate.
Exactly.
And although these different factors are different for bacteria or for eukaryotes or different types of eukaryotes,
mm-hmm.
the existence of these factors is a universal feature of translation.
You've discovered some new things. Could you tell us a little bit about those?
Right. So an important point of this is that it allowed us to watch how the different factors are orchestrated when they come on mm-hmm. and off in an in vivo setting. And we focused as sort of a proof of principle of this on bacterial chaperone trigger factor, which binds both to the ribosome and to nascent chains. There were two sort of key findings that were surprising and where it was critical to be able to watch the natural flux of when and where trigger factor was engaging nascent chains. The first was that universally, trigger factor didn't come onto the polypeptide until 50 to 100 amino acids were synthesized, until well after the polypeptide has emerged from the ribosome exit channel.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really in contrast to the view in vitro. If you take trigger factor alone, it can bind to the ribosome even when there's no nascent chain at all. But in context of in vivo, where there's this competition, there's
right.
Limited trigger factor in competition with other factors,
mm-hmm.
there's a protected period in which the polypeptide is essentially immune for surveillance from trigger factor.
Mm-hmm.
And then we presented a set of experiments that argued that this protected period was actually critical for the ability of other enzymes, including modifying enzymes,
right.
to get at the nascent chain.
Right. So this kind of underlies the N-terminal modifying factors that come first and
yes.
then kind of modulate when trigger factor comes on. So you found that trigger factor seems to associate most prominently with outer membrane proteins.
Right. And so this was the second aspect of it. As I said, the first part was on the typical polypeptide when trigger factor first came in. The second was differentiating, did trigger factor tend to engage some classes of polypeptides more than others? And what we showed was that there was this striking disparity between the type of protein and how well it was engaged by trigger factor. Mm-hmm. On one extreme were the proteins that are put in the inner membrane, and those really were very poorly engaged as a rule by trigger factor. In the middle were the mass of the cytosolic proteins. Mm-hmm. And then at the real extreme, in terms of the really tight binders, were a class of proteins known as porins or outer membrane proteins that are destined for the outer membrane. So trigger factor was triaging the proteome based on the final destination of the polypeptide. In addition to the value to trigger factor specifically, that this can be applied to all these different chaperones or targeting factors or modifying enzymes to really decipher the logic of how polypeptides are recognized and how they're triaged.
Exactly. You've given us a lot to think about, and I really thank you for taking the time to discuss this paper. To learn more about selective ribosomal profiling and the relationship between trigger factor and bacterial outer membrane proteins, please check out the paper from Eugene Oh and colleagues in the December 9th issue of Cell. I'm Kara Cervini, scientific editor of Cell. Thanks for listening to a Cell Paperclip.